you have your Bible, please stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word. We're going to read a passage in Genesis. We'll be in Galatians chapter 4 for the text, but we'll read out of Genesis chapter 15, and it will connect with what we're talking about here in Galatians. Genesis 15, starting with verse 1, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great.' Abram said, 'O Lord God, what will you give me since I am childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?' And Abram said, 'Since you have given me no offspring, one born in my house is my heir.' Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'This man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir.' And he took him outside and said, 'Now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them.' And he said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.' Then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is true and it is alive. And Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit who inspired these words will also begin to speak to our hearts today. May you give us eyes to see and ears to hear, a heart to receive, a mind to believe, a will to obey, Lord, what you are saying to us today. Father, help us to be still and just know that you are God. And may you speak and transform us today. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, and his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated in Galatians chapter 4. We're going to be starting in verse 21. And what we're doing is we're going through the book of Galatians, and what we've been discovering is that Paul has been setting up churches in Galatia, and then when he left, there were some Judaizers who came in behind him and tried to distort or twist the gospel and try to make claims that wasn't true. And so there was a group of Judaizers who would come back and say, "You know, that's Jesus. That's good at all that you know Jesus, but you also, if you're a Gentile, you need to convert fully over and be circumcised and come up under the law." And so it's Jesus plus this and that. And Paul's trying to correct things. And so today we're going to look at two women. We're going to look at two women and two sons. And we're going to look at what family line that we come under. Let me ask you this question. Would you like to be a part of something ordinary or something extraordinary? I mean, that's what we want to be a part of. We want to be something extraordinary. I mean, ordinary, that's just, everybody can be ordinary. But extraordinary is something different. And I want to challenge you, and I want you to think about this. God does things in extraordinary ways. He's not about just the ordinary. He's about the extraordinary. And we're going to look at this dynamic of a family and look at, are we in the lineage of the extraordinary? What pedigree do you come from? Have a pedigree of promise? You know, it's nice to have a pedigree behind you. His dad was this, or his mom was that, and his great grandfather used to be able to do this and that. And when you have a pedigree of promise, blessing can follow your family. And so today we're going to look at that and how Paul uses an example in the Old Testament, in Genesis, of how we can discover, are we involved in the extraordinary or are we part of the ordinary? So Galatians chapter 4, we'll start with verse 21. Paul says, "Tell me, you who want to be under law, do you not listen to the law?" He's like, do you not understand what you're really reading? Jesus often said this to the scribes and Pharisees when he was teaching and he was talking. He'd say, "Have you not read?" That was not a question where he knew that they had read. I mean, the Pharisees, Sadducees, even modern-day Jews, Orthodox Jews today, can recite the entire Old Testament from memory. But does it mean that they know the Old Testament? You can recite all things. How many of y'all used to study for tests and memorize really well? And then, like a week later, if you had to take that test again, there ain't no way you'd be passing it. You could momentarily memorize it, but you didn't really get it. You just memorized it. And they were memorizing the Scripture, but they didn't get the meaning of the Scripture. And so he's like, have you not read? Do you not understand? Have you not listened to the law? Look at verse 22. He says, "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and one by the free woman. But the son by the bondwoman was born according to the flesh. This would be the ordinary way, the natural way. And the son by the free woman through the promise. This is the extraordinary way. This is not natural. This is supernatural. Now, if you don't know who Abraham is, and you don't know who Sarah is, then this is kind of like, well, what's all this talking about? So let's kind of go back a little bit and talk about Genesis for a moment and talk about who Abraham is and who these people are. Abraham, that we just read before the message began, was promised by God that he would become a great, have a great name, a great nation, and all the peoples of the world would be blessed. And he was promised that he'd have a child. Abraham's having a conversation with God. He's like, who's going to be my descendant? We don't have a child. Obviously, it's going to be this guy in our home. And God says, no, I'm going to give you a child. It's my promise. How many of you all realize that when God makes a promise, you can count on it? Okay? If he says he's going to do something, he will do it. Okay? So he makes a promise to Abraham. Now, they're getting old. All right? So he's probably up. He's around in his late 80s, Sarah's in her late 70s, early 80s, around that age group, and they still haven't had a child yet. So, the natural way of thinking is, I can't have any more kids, right? Ladies, would you think once you reach around 80, you ain't going to be having any more kids? Huh? Yeah, I hope so. That's the truth, right? Don't be laughing, Becky. You never know. That's what Sarah did. She laughed. They could be 80. Like, I got something to announce for the church. Like, where's Kevin? And so they can have so what happened was is since they didn't seem like naturally they could have kids, Sarah came up with this plan. And Sarah said, Abraham, Hagar, maidservant. She's young, she's fertile, she can have kids. Why don't you have her, and we will have a son through her? And right then and there, Abraham should have known, this is not a good idea, right? I mean, this is not going to go well. He should have known that, but he didn't. He's like a man, and he just said, well, if that's what you want, honey. And so they had a child by Hagar. She's an Egyptian woman. She was a bond woman. She wasn't from a free woman, from a free people status. She was a slave. Now, what they did right there is what we try to do all the time. They tried to help God out. They thought that God's promise wasn't going to be kept. And they didn't see how it could be, and so they thought that God needed their help, so they came up with a plan how they could help God fulfill his promise. Now, how many of you all realize that God doesn't need our help to keep his promise? How many of you all have tried to help God out before? Huh? And it didn't work out, did it? Huh? Disaster, because we're like, well, you know, we know this, and we don't see how it's going to happen. So, you know, God, let me help you out a little bit, and let me try to do it, you know. Who's sovereign here? Is it God or is it us? I mean, do we know all things or does he know all things? Can he see the future or can we see the future? The answer is he is. He's sovereign. He knows it all. He's got the plan, so we don't need to try to help him carry out his plan. But that's what she did, that's what Abraham did, and that's what many of us still do today. Try to help God do his plan. Well, when Abraham got around 100 years old, and Sarah was 90, she gets pregnant. This is miraculous. Because a woman her age should not be able to bear children. And this boy that is born, his name is Isaac. The other boy that was born, his name was Ishmael. He is from the bondwoman, the slave woman. And there is a boy born by Sarah, who is from the free woman, and his name is Isaac. This is the son of promise. This is the pedigree of promise. This is the son that was born in an extraordinary way, not in an ordinary way. He was the one that was birthed through the promise of God through him. When you read and you hear about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it's this lineage. This is the lineage that Jesus will come through, and he will fulfill all that the Old Testament speaks of. Now, he goes on in verse 24. He says, this is allegorically speaking, for these women are two covenants, one proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves. She is Hagar. Now, when Paul is using this as an allegorical interpretation, he does not mean that this is not historical. He isn't saying that Abraham didn't really exist and Sarah and Hagar didn't. They're real historical people, but he's bringing out a spiritual truth about this historical event. He says these two ladies represent two covenants. They represent two different people. Now, the Jewish folks of the day, of Jesus' day, of Paul's day, they would have automatically assumed that they were in the line of who? Isaac, right? When they interpreted Genesis, when they read Genesis, and they would say, there's the son from Hagar, and his name was Ishmael, and then there's the son of Sarah, and his name is Isaac. They, as good Jews, as scribes and Pharisees, they were the line of Isaac. They were the people of promise. They would never have considered themselves to be through the line of Ishmael. In fact, who did they consider to be through the lineage of Ishmael? The Gentiles. All the Gentiles was through the line of Ishmael. We're through the line of Isaac. Abraham's our father. Well, there's a man that steps on the scene. He is the forerunner of Jesus. His name is John the Baptist. How many of y'all have heard of John the Baptist? Well, John the Baptist, he's a wild man. You know, he wouldn't have been invited to speak at a lot of churches around town. You know, he dressed funny. He wore camel's hair and ate locusts and put wild honey on it to make it, I guess, taste a little better. I guess anything with honey on it could taste pretty good. Amen? I don't know about locusts. I ain't going to try it, but I don't know. He did. And he's preaching, and he's getting all kinds of folks coming down, and he's baptizing folks, and it says, then Jerusalem was going out to him and all Judea and all the district around Jordan, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? That's pretty seeker friendly, isn't it? I mean, that's, you know, you have people coming from baptism, that'd be a strange altar call, wouldn't it? I step down, give the altar call, and people come, and I'd be like, you brood of viper, who told you to repent? But he's getting in their face. He's trying to shake them up. He's trying to get them to see something. And he says, therefore, he says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Because listen, because they had a false way of thinking. He's trying to get them to think different. He says, do not suppose that you can say to yourselves that we have Abraham as our father. He says, for I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. What he wanted the Pharisees to know is, do not put your faith in your religious rituals and your rites, because God does things in the extraordinary way, not just the ordinary way. And if he wants to, he can turn these stones and raise up sons and daughters of his own. He doesn't need that physical descent, because he does things in the supernatural, not in the natural. He does stuff in the extraordinary, not the ordinary. Jesus also combated these folks, the Pharisees and Sadducees. And he had a discussion with them, and they were discussing, and they said to him, this is in John 8:39, they said to him, well, Abraham is our father. They probably puffed up their chest a little bit, you know. Well, Abraham is our father. Jesus says to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me. A man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God, this, he says, Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father, they said to him. Well, we're not born of fornication. We have one father, God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he who sent me. He later goes on and says, you are from your father, the devil. You have two lines. You have the lineage and through Ishmael, and then you have the lineage through Isaac. They thought they were in the line of Isaac. In reality, what Jesus, what John the Baptist is pointing out, what Jesus is pointing out, and what Paul is going to point out is they're not in the line of Isaac. Rather, they're in the line of Ishmael. Of the flesh. Not the spirit. Of the ordinary. Not the extraordinary. And one of my main questions that I want you all to think and ponder on today is which family line are you in? Are you in the ordinary, the natural, or are you in the extraordinary, the supernatural? Because it makes all the difference in the world. Now let's look at this comparison in verse 25. He says, now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, where she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem where? That is above, the Jerusalem above is free. She is our what? Mother. For it is written, rejoice, barren woman who does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For more numerous are the children of the desolate than of the one who has a husband. And you, he speaks to the Christians that he's writing to, and you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. He says, I want you to know, Christian, that you are like Isaac. You're in that lineage. They are in the lineage of Ishmael. If you go back to the old covenant and you go back and don't believe that Jesus is all you need, you're going back into bondage, into slavery. And that's the ordinary, not the extraordinary. If I were to categorize this and kind of put two columns down, if I was taking notes, I would put Hagar on one side and Sarah on the other. Now, under Hagar, I would put slave, because she was from a slave woman, Mount Sinai, Ishmael, flesh, earthly Jerusalem, and then Judaism. Sarah, underneath her, I'd put free. She was a free woman. Mount Zion, the heavenly city. Isaac, spirit, because he was born by the power of the Spirit. Heavenly Jerusalem, and Christianity. And so what Paul is doing is he's using a text that the Jews would use to say, we have Abraham as our father because we are through the line of Isaac. And he flips it around and says, no. It is the people of faith. It is the people that trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior who are the people of God and the people of promise. They're in the line of Ishmael of flesh. Because here's what's happening. The works of the flesh will kill you all the time. There's two main religions. There is works of man. There's Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, and all the other religions that's not Christianity. And they all say, if you want to get to God, then you must work your way there. You must do this. You must do that. Not do this. Not do that. You must do these things. You must say these chants. You must do this. When then Christianity over here says, it is freely by the grace of God that you cannot get to God on your own. You cannot save yourself. You are not good enough. That you cannot work your way up to God. That God had to come down and save and redeem us. Ishmael, Isaac. Ordinary, extraordinary. which line are you in? He goes on and he says, but as for that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the spirit. So it is now also. It's the same thing. There was a time when Isaac got a little older that Ishmael was picking on Isaac. And he was bullying Isaac and he was taunting Isaac. And Sarah saw it and she didn't like it. And she said, he's not hanging around my boy. Get her out of here. Get her and the son out of here. And Paul says it's still going on today. Those brothers are still fighting today. The flesh and the spirit still fight today. Works of the flesh against flesh wrestles against the spirit still every day. It goes on. There's battles that go on every day. This fight's still going on every day. And he says, Sarah says that we need to get he needs to leave. You have to get the flesh out so the spirit can live. And so it says, but what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. So, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the what? Free woman. We've been set free. We're not in bondage. We've been set free. We're children of the promise. We're born in the extraordinary way. We're not born in the ordinary way. It is we who have faith that are born in the extraordinary way. It is we who are believers that's born in the extraordinary way. It is we who know Jesus that's been set free. We are the people of God. We are the people of promise. And this morning, if you don't know the Lord, then you're not in the lineage of Isaac. If you don't know the Lord, you're not a person of promise. You're not in the extraordinary line. You're in the ordinary. And why does that matter? Well, it matters a great deal. It matters a great deal. Joey, it matters a great deal, doesn't it? I was sharing about your story, about how you'd been coming and you'd been coming to church for a while and for a long time, sitting right here in the front row, and you'd come and pray. And you'd pray, and you knew that you needed Jesus. And one day we talked and you said, I know I need to be saved, but what do I need to do? I feel like I need to do something. I feel like I need to do something to be saved. And I said, Joey, I said, Jesus has already done it. He died for your sin. I said, all you gotta do is believe that Jesus died for your sin and that he rose again. And if I wanted to give you a gift, what would you have to do? And he said, just receive it. I was like, that's all you need to do is receive it. And we prayed, and you received Jesus as Lord. And man, I'll never forget the look on your face after you prayed. Man, the whole countenance of your face changed. And we got your baptism scheduled and all that stuff. And then, I don't know, it was just probably a few weeks later after you gave your life to the Lord that you got the news, man, that this cancer is probably a lot heavier than what you thought it was. But what didn't change was the countenance on your face. You still had the joy of the Lord in you. And now, as it seems like it's attacking hard, your captain still hasn't changed. You know why? Because he's a child of the promise. He's been born again. He's in the extraordinary lineage. And can I tell you, can I just be real and honest with you all? This life is short. And what you drive and what you wear and where you live doesn't matter the day you die. What matters is, are you extraordinary or ordinary? Because the ordinary will reap corruption and destruction, but the extraordinary will rise to eternal life. And I'm telling you what, they can take your health. They can take anything away from you, but they can't take your salvation. And that's not just to him, that's to all of us. We praying that God do a miracle and bring healing over him. But if he takes him on home, he's taking him home because he's God's child. So it doesn't matter, does it? So today, this may seem like a message, I don't know, how does this relate to my life? It relates to your life, of your eternal destiny. you don't know Him today, we want to give you a chance to know Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You and we love You. Lord, there's some here this morning, maybe there's man and woman, they've never surrendered to You. They're trying to work it out themselves. They're trying to work to get Your approval. They're trying to work their way to heaven. And Lord, would You just impress in them the truth that they cannot work their way to You, but You've already came down to save us and redeem us. Would you speak that truth to them, Lord? If there's someone, Lord, that just needs to respond, would You enable them to do so? Father, we know that there's many people here also that know You and have been born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank You, Lord. If that's you, would you take time right now just to simply thank God for saving you? Would you do that just right now? If you're a Christian, would you say, Lord, thank You for saving me? Would you just thank Him for that salvation that you have? And maybe you haven't told God that you loved Him in a really long time, and you just need to say, Lord, I love You. Would you just tell Him you love Him and give Him praise and thanks for what He's done? And if you need to come for any reason, if you need to come to receive Jesus as Lord, if you want to just come and pray prayers of devotion and praise to God, do so. If you need to come and pray for someone or with someone, would you please do so? Be obedient to what God is saying. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's respond. Let's come. Let's move.